In this episode, I'm talking to Simon Jones. Join me now.
Come with us on the Being Imperfectly Perfect journey, where Anna brings to you guests who have overcome challenges and often their own thoughts of self-doubt and criticism to accept who they are, allowing them to live the life they really want.
Welcome, Simon, and thank you for joining us. So tell me a little bit more about you.
Good morning, Anna. I'm saying good morning. I'm looking at my clock. It is actually morning. It's 10:15 in the morning. So I am Simon, and I've been running this podcasting business for, since the pandemic. The pandemic was quite a key part of starting all of this. But prior to that, I was doing a lot of photography and video in a very niche market. But now I'm immersed fully in the world of podcasting, and it's great. It really is.
I love that. That is why I wanted to bring you on, because, of course, you are our awesome podcast producer. Thank you. You're doing an incredible job. And I wanted to bring you to the guests because I know that you have made some changes in your life and in your business, as you've just said. And I think that's really helpful for people who are maybe on a journey of their life isn't quite how they want it to be. And almost like that, where do I start kind of situation. So talk to me a little bit more to start. The question I always ask, of course, is what does being imperfectly perfect mean for you?
Okay, no, it's a really good question. And it's a great title for this podcast as well, because I'm convinced that so often people don't realise their potential because they're terrified about the idea of not being perfect in something. There's a book that I read a long time ago by a guy called Rob Moore. And you know what it's like when you listen to a podcast and someone recommends a book and like 0.1% of the people listening will actually go and read the whole book.
Wow.
But actually with this, you don't even need to read the book, because the title of the book was Start Now, Get Perfect Later. And actually, if you just absorb that title, then the rest of the book is just supporting what that title is all about. But if you're able just to absorb fully that title, to start now, get perfect later, then whatever it is in life, just start now and get perfect later, because actually nobody's a master to start off doing anything at all. And so I think the idea of being imperfectly perfect or perfectly imperfect is this idea of just getting going with something. Because in the early days of doing something, you've got that complete freedom to try it out and see how it goes. And let's face it, most of the time when you start off doing something, then your audience for whatever that thing is going to be very small, if anything at all. So if it goes wrong, then actually nobody's really going to know anyway, apart from yourself. You can learn from that, tweak it, change it, and then try something else. So just to start now and then get perfect later. And whether that's a YouTube channel, whether that's a new business idea, whether that's meeting someone and having a conversation, that first conversation, you're not quite sure how it's going to go, or whether it's starting a podcast, you know, whatever it is, we should just start now and then get perfect later. So shout out to Rob Moore for that, because that really did change my life.
I love that. And actually, I saw Rob Moore recently. He was absolutely hilarious.
Okay, I did.
I was at an event just a few months ago, and he was actually a speaker at the event. He was absolutely hilarious. He really was. And I think what you've just said is so key. But even within that, and what you've just said about, you know, at the start of something, there maybe aren't, you know, many people listening or whatever. And I know for me, actually, that's really held me back of, okay, well, what's the point of doing this? In the past, because I've very much changed my mindset now on that, but in the past of like, well, what's the point if only one person is going to show up? So what would you say to someone who is maybe in, you know, wanting to start something and maybe in that mindset of like, well, what's, you know, unless this is going to be big, what is the point? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. I can remember 2 years before the pandemic came along, and I was thinking to myself, I'd love to start my own podcast in something. Back then, I was just doing photography and video, and I thought, right, it'd be great to start a podcast where photographers are the audience. And then I was thinking, well, maybe instead of a podcast, it should be a YouTube channel, and I should be doing something along that route instead. And I couldn't decide whether it should be a podcast or a YouTube channel. And I didn't want to try both and then fail at both. I thought, I've got to choose the right one. And I got hung up on trying to choose the right one. And you know what, Anna? It took 2 years of me trying to decide which one I should do before I realized that actually the choice that I was making was the worst choice, which was doing nothing at all. And actually, if I just tried one or the other, then I would have been 2 years further down the road than I ended up being. Not that I'm kicking myself over that, but it's a good lesson to learn for the future, which is, you know, if you're not sure which option to take, then just take one of them. Because really, what's the worst that can happen if you give one of them a go? So that was kind of quite life-changing. And actually what I ended up doing was, after 2 years of indecision, I ended up just actually doing them both. And I thought to myself, if I just try both, then one of them will naturally show itself to be the right one, because I'll naturally want to spend more time on that one, or I'll feel that I'm enjoying it more than the other one. And then the other one that I'm not engaging in so much will just naturally fall by the wayside, and I'll pick up the one that I'm actually running with. So that's kind of what happened. And that, like I said, that happened during the pandemic, and it was a great chance or a great opportunity to start something new. So I'm really glad that I did that. But I learned a lot from having made that lack of decision for 2 years. And 2 years is a long time to be, you know, sitting on my hands, not actually doing anything when I could have been doing something.
I love that. And what I'm really hearing within that is almost like the perfectionism of wanting it to be perfect, almost like held you back from doing anything at all. And we talk a lot, don't we, about this perfectionism and procrastination, and actually just taking the first step, as it were. And you touched there a little bit on, you know, almost like what if it failed? And then you said also about, now, well, you're not kicking yourself for not doing anything in those 2 years. What would you say to someone who maybe does kick themselves, maybe someone who doesn't take action, and then when they do take action, they realise how easy it is? I see this with my clients all the time. And then they go into this spiral of like, oh, well, why didn't I do this sooner? This was so easy, or this was so whatever. Why didn't I do it sooner? And they start to go in that kind of spiral. What tips would you give to someone to stop them from doing that?
Well, you know, I'm a great believer in that we should be controlling the things that we can control or should control, and things that are outside of our control, we should leave them be completely. So we can control who we are from now moving into the future, but none of us has a time machine to go back in like Marty McFly style back to the future,
if only,
in a DeLorean and go back in time to change who we were in the past. And given that we've got no ability to do that at all, then if you feel like the past was a bad decision that you made, then living in regret is just making that worse. Whereas actually, you know, you can take that and just apply it to your life and be a changed person for the future. Who is it that said one time that there's no such thing as failure? There's either success or a lesson learned for the future. I can't remember. Somebody said that.
Yeah.
It's probably Einstein, or someone attributed it to Einstein on Facebook at some point. But it's true, you know, we there's different ways of looking at something that you've done wrong in the past. But literally, just to apply that to make yourself a better person for the future is absolutely the right way to go.
I love that. And I mean, what you've just said there, I was the person who lived in regret for so many years. And that certainly changed my life, actually, realizing, you know what, it didn't matter what you did. You had two choices. You could either spend time trying to build a time machine to go back in time, or you could actually just line in the sand and move forward and actually, you know, stop kind of giving yourself a hard time. And I think forgiveness for yourself is a really big thing there as well. But even within what you've just said there, what would you say is the key thing that allows you to do that, that allows you not to live in regret, that allows you to almost like move forward more easily and almost like go, yeah, this is, doesn't matter, it's happened, I'm going to just move on?
Well, I think here I'm probably quite fortunate in that I don't mind change in my life. And that's staying the same as I'm getting on. You know, I'm in my late 40s now, and I'm still okay with change being thrown at me. I appreciate that some people do struggle with change more so than other people. So I do tend to lean into the fact that, because that is one of my fortunate strengths, and I say fortunate strengths because it's not like I decided from a young age that I was going to be the kind of person that enjoyed change, or at least I don't think I consciously did that. I think that I've just always quite enjoyed that variety. Maybe I'm just quite a shallow person and I've got a bit of ADHD. I'm not sure. I don't think I have though, but certainly that served me quite well, and especially during the pandemic, But for someone else who maybe does live in that regret, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, what is the best way to handle that if you're that sort of person? I think really it's just always looking to the future and seeing what the potential is in the future, but also just challenging ourselves to try to work out what kind of future we do want and then how we go and chase that down.
I love what you've said about what we want for that future. But I think equally though, what we can do is almost like live too much in the future, can't we? We can almost be in that, well, when this happens in the future, then I will be happy or something. What would you say to someone who is maybe in that situation? They're maybe, you know, not loving their life right now, and they've just got their, you know, thoughts and visions in the future going, well, all will be well when I earn X amount of money, or when I have this business, or when I've made my podcast and my YouTube channel, or I've done whatever. What would you say to those people?
Well, you know, how do you know when you've actually made it there? And I remember years ago hearing some celebrity saying that they found that they try to make it to the top, and then when they got to the top, they realized that there was nothing there. And there's always that other thing as well of when you ask people how much money is sufficient for them to live their lives, the usual answer is just a little bit more. And that's going whether someone's on a relatively low salary or whether they're some kind of multimillionaire. So I think it's really important, therefore, to move away from the mainstream, which is, you know, often just to try and chase down a little bit more money, just to get a slightly better job or have a slightly better business, but just to enjoy. I mean, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be striving for those things, for that improvement, but just to, you know, the classic phrase is journey before destination. And if we all enjoy that journey instead of just focusing on that destination, because quite often the closer you get to that perceived destination, the further away it gets from you anyway, because you create a new further destination that's even farther away. But just to enjoy the journey as you go there is a great thing to do. You often hear, don't you, about how people have built up a business and then they've sold it and they've got millions in the bank. And does that make them really happy? Well, often not. And it's not that it makes them unhappy, but they're not fulfilled by having the money in the bank. And quite often they'll go and start something else, because actually the most enjoyable part of the whole process was when they were building it up and growing it, not at the point where they'd sold it and they had X million in the bank.
And I think you're right. It's almost like that, not that necessarily the hustle, but I know for me especially, like that hunger of like wanting something is actually kind of like part and parcel. Even, you know, us developing this podcast together, and, you know, I was thinking this morning as I was re-recording some things with your awesome feedback, and I was thinking, how different is it now to maybe what I was like even a year or 2 years ago, when maybe I would have taken that as criticism of I hadn't done it properly, or I hadn't done it right, or I hadn't done it perfectly. And I just thought how different things can be over a very short period of time. And I know that you've experienced this of how things can change literally in an instant. So what would you say to someone who is at this point in time, they want to make some changes in their lives, they don't really know where to start? What would you say is maybe like one thing that they can do to start that road of change to where they want to go?
Well, Anna, one of the things you told me about a long time ago, I remember, was the idea of uncomfortable decisions or uncomfortable actions. And you know, we're often told, aren't we, that the brain is a muscle, and that we should be training it, and that we'll happily go to the, well, some people will happily go to the gym. Whether you enjoy going to the gym or not is a different matter. Uh-huh. But we all understand the concept of going to the gym to train a muscle, whereas actually to train the brain to take uncomfortable actions or to have uncomfortable conversations or to start something that takes you outside of your comfort zone is usually something that you do need to practice. So even if there's nothing uncomfortable which is shouting at you right now, it's not like you're faced with something that you're having to decide, should I do that uncomfortable thing or not? Just the idea of actually I'm going to start taking uncomfortable actions, so that then when I need to do something, I'm going to be in a better place for it, because I've trained myself to do that. And I'm really glad that you shared that with me, because quite often now I'll think to myself, right, how comfortable is my life right now? And if it's too comfortable, then it's not like I'll go and mess something up intentionally, but I will find a way of going and doing something that does stretch me. It does take me outside of my comfort zone, just because then I am being challenged, because we know that there's no growth inside the comfort zone.
And even with what you've just said there, the biggest problems I actually see with my clients is when they're in what I would consider the okay zone, which is almost like above, kind of like out on a scale of 1 to 10, between really kind of 6 and 8 or 9, which is almost like the zone of like things aren't, you know, quite what I would like them to be. Then, you know, maybe a little bit of settling. They're not maybe how you would exactly like them to be, but things are okay, you know. And I think that's almost like a very dangerous zone. And what I've seen time and time again is we then sabotage ourselves because we want something different, but we don't really want to admit that we want something different. So we end up unconsciously sabotaging our lives. So even within that, and you just talked about, you know, these uncomfortable actions. What would you say to someone who right now maybe has a life that is a little bit too comfortable? It's not quite what they would want, but it's okay and it's comfortable. How can they make themselves uncomfortable without doing what we just talked about there, sabotaging themselves?
So one of the things that I learned actually from going to a Tony Robbins event, Unleash the Power Within, is the idea of imagining how your life will look in the future if, first of all, if nothing changes, if you just carry on doing the exact same thing. But then also to imagine, and this is going to sound really negative, but it's kind of meant to be for a second. It's imagining the worst case scenario from having that life that you might call a mediocre life right now. So let's imagine that you're doing a job where your satisfaction level is 7 out of 10. Well, what's the worst case from that? You know, maybe in 6 months' time, someone else joins the company and they end up taking a position that you feel you should have been taking. But the reason why you didn't get it was because you're just at that 6 or 7 out of 10. So you're not really giving it everything. Then as a result of that, you don't meet your career expectations. As a result of that, your relative income compared to living expenses tends to go down. As a result of that, maybe then you start to go into debt or greater debt if you've already got any kind of debt. That then causes stress and friction within your significant relationship. Then you end up breaking up with that person when maybe you didn't want to. You start to have a stressful life, and then you can picture all of these really negative outcomes from all of this. And I think that's a really helpful thing to do just for a short period of time, to experience that negative emotion that you could have in the future if you don't do anything at all about this. Because only by understanding that will we feel compelled to actually change it and actively seek something that's greater than what we've got right now. Because otherwise, it may well be that you do just carry on with that and then you do end up in that negative situation. But if you genuinely want to improve where you are, either now or in the future, then it does require action. It does require change. And if that change isn't like shouting at you because it's really necessary, you know, if your job or your relationship is a 6 or a 7 out of 10, when, you know, it's easier to change if it's like a 2 out of 10. If, you know, if you absolutely hate your work, or if you're working for someone who is a real, real nasty person, it's much easier to change that situation than it is if you're just sort of adequately happy and everything is just kind of average. So I'd really encourage people to imagine what the future would be like if they don't change, and the worst case outcome in that future as well.
And it's great that you've just walked through that example, because I think that's a great example of things don't necessarily happen is a big chunk. Oftentimes it's actually the drip 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 effect, isn't it? It's I suppose, like if you've got kids and you don't realize that you're getting them into a really bad habit, but suddenly before you know it, you've got a child in a really bad habit, and then it takes weeks to actually undo that habit because it's just been a slow progression over that time. And when I worked for Tony, people would say to me, because he would say two things kind of that sound contradictory about taking massive action and then the 2 millimeter shift and taking small changes and actions that create compounding. And what I would say to people is actually it's the 2 millimeter shift, it's the small actions that actually lead to the massive action. It's like a two-way street. So for you, what are your almost like your 2 millimeter shifts that you do every day consistently, which allow you to keep growing, keep staying in that zone of I've learned, rather than going into regret or looking too much to the future for your happiness?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound like a bit of a cliche, but one of the things that really helps me to keep my mind more razor focused is going to the gym, ideally going to the gym every day.
Mm.
And I find that having that discipline is, well, okay, so I'm the sort of person where I'm great with discipline, but I really struggle with any kind of moderation. So so I find it much easier to eat no chocolate than to open a bar of chocolate and have one piece. I mean, I'd find that impossible to do. Although I shouldn't really use language like that, saying I find that impossible, because I'll always find that. Yeah.
Very conscious. I can feel you're about to
pick
coach.
Me up on it. Yeah. Bit conscious of this, Anna. But yeah, so for me, if I'm going to the gym every day, then that's a lot easier than deciding that I'm going to go, say, 3 times a week. Because if I go 3 times a week, then maybe I'll go on a Monday, and then I get to Wednesday and I'm thinking, oh, I should go today, but I'll go tomorrow because it's busy today, and I'll still be able to do 3 times this week. And then Thursday comes, and oh, actually I'll go Friday, and then Friday you don't go, and then you decide you have to go Saturday, Sunday, and then you don't, because then you come up with an excuse that it's a weekend. Whereas actually, just to say I'm going to go every day is an easier thing to do, because it takes that decision making in the moment out. It's like you've already decided in advance that you are going to go today, and there is no excuse on that. So I find that when I go to the gym every day, my brain just operates better. I also find that I have more discipline for getting up at the right time in the morning. And my waking up time, this is going to sound a bit bizarre, but it's 5:58 a.m. The logic behind that is that I set 2 alarms. One is at 5:58, the other is at 6 o'clock. So it's only 2 minutes later, but my objective is to disable the 6 o'clock alarm when I'm up before it goes off.
Ah.
So it gives me a 2 minute window that I have to be up. And again, I find having that discipline is really important, because, I mean, as of about 2 years ago, I'm living on my own. I was married beforehand. And so one of the downsides about living on your own is that you can, if you want to, just sleep in, get up at whatever time you want. You can choose to go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning if you want to, and you've got very little accountability. So having that discipline in my life just works really well for me. It's like having the discipline gives me the freedom in other parts of my life to do the things that I know are the right things. So the discipline leads to the freedom. Do you know what I mean?
I love that. I really love that. And even touching back on what you just said, when you said about being conscious, almost like what you're saying to me and me being a coach and whatever, I find that so much with coaches. And I know, even on my journey, I have been almost like overcritical of myself at times, being a coach of like, oh, well, I know I shouldn't be saying this, or I should be saying that. And what I find so often is we can almost like overcoach ourselves when we're in the personal development world. And actually, I spoke to a new client yesterday, and I said to her, I actually think you're being overcoached right now, because every time she almost like feels disempowered or anything like that, she's turning to personal development and she's going to see inspirational videos and different things. And I said to her, I actually think you're overcoaching yourself. We had this whole discussion around it. So even within that, And I know we can almost like in the growth world almost like want to be growing so much that we're almost making us wrong, or not, or pretending we're not human, as it were. Does that make sense? Almost like not allowing ourselves to be imperfect. So what would you say to someone who maybe at the moment is so far in the personal development world that there may be almost using that to keep telling themselves, I'm not good enough, I'm not as good as this person, and they've got that self-criticism? What would you say to someone like that?
Ooh, self-criticism. You know, I'm not sure that I'm the right person to ask about self-criticism, actually, which it's not that I don't criticize myself, but I tend not to beat myself up for things, well, like we talked about, like, you know, things that have happened in the past. But instead, I try and use every situation. I don't always get this right at all, but I try to use every situation as best as I can to make any kind of improvement for the future. Now, that doesn't always happen. I don't get cross very easily. I got cross yesterday because I was trying to deal with French authorities. I live in Paris, and I'm trying to deal with them regarding my 12-month visa, which needs to be renewed. It's just a ridiculous process. It really is. But then sometimes I'll get cross at myself, or I might speak to someone and have a whinge about what's just happened with the French authorities. And then I'll take a step back and think, right, well, actually, Simon, are you serving yourself in this situation? And yesterday I was self-critical. But then I realized actually that it's okay to be human, and it's okay to be imperfectly perfect. So there you are. It's, you know, we all have moments where we don't necessarily do what the textbook says that we should do. But we are humans, and there's a lot to celebrate in that, that we're not machines, we're not robots. You can't program somebody, you shouldn't program somebody to be 100% predictable the whole time. That would take some of that little fun out of life. So, you know, it's okay to not get everything right all the time. And it's okay from time to time to not watch a Jim Rohn video on YouTube, but instead to go and watch something on Netflix just because you feel like taking 45 minutes out and watching something. You know, I think that if you do watch something on Netflix, if you've decided that you're going to watch something on Netflix tonight, then that's okay. But if you're not deciding and you're just ambly thinking, oh, what shall I do? Oh, I'll just turn on Netflix. And you do that one night after the next, then that's taking yourself out of control of your own life. But you know, we don't have to always be learning. It is okay to not have a self-coaching video playing in the background while we're doing the ironing, or listening to a podcast where we are growing as people. It's okay to tune into a comedy podcast. It's okay to watch a bit of Netflix. It's okay to play a bit of music, or to read a book that's not a Tony Robbins book. You know, it's okay just to lose ourselves in a novel. I think there's great opportunity in there. There's a lot to celebrate. It's one of the beautiful things about being alive in 2024. It's a great place. It really is.
Even with what you've just said, that you're probably not the best person to ask, I would actually disagree. I think you're the perfect person to ask in that situation, because from what I'm hearing, when you're not doing that, you're not beating yourself up. And actually, you just kind of said maybe you do beat yourself up sometimes. But even within that, you're the perfect person to ask, because when you are someone who is maybe giving themselves a little bit of an easier ride, some compassion in there, some kindness, actually, I think that is really useful to model. Whereas someone who maybe is super critical of themselves and is stuck in that right now, they maybe don't know how to get out of that. So those little nuggets that you've just shared with us, I think, are actually the perfect antidote to that, maybe that self-criticism or that self-blame or staying stuck. Because what I'm hearing is actually just taking yourself a step back and looking and asking yourself, is this actually really serving me? And what can I maybe change in this situation? Even if things don't go maybe according to plan.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. And I think as well that, you know, we've always got opportunities to take a break from something that you think might not be going well, in that, you know, if you have a bad day at work, for example, then you could end up beating yourself up for it not being a very productive day at work. Or you could think to yourself, right, well, let's clear my desk, get it ready for tomorrow, and start tomorrow afresh. And we've always got these opportunities to think, right, okay, you know, here is a break point. Let's do it well from this point moving forwards, and let's not beat ourselves up over having maybe not done it perfectly the day before. I don't know, Anna. I mean, you know, I'm no expert in this. I just do what I do, and you know, I think it's important for all of us to have a coach, because, you know, it doesn't matter what level we're at in life, to have someone that we can talk to about these things, someone who can share their experience, because they deal with other people, often other people in the same kind of situations. To have someone talk to us who's listening to us from outside of our own heads, you know, as a different point of view, I think is a really important thing to do.
And even within that, and you talk there about, you know, I am no expert. And I think sometimes we can actually look outside of ourselves thinking that other people are the experts, not us. And actually, I think it's so important that we realise that we are our own expert. We might not be the expert in everything, but actually we are our own expert. We know what is best for us deep down. And it's so important that we tap into that, because we can look outside of ourselves and, oh, so-and-so knows better than me on this point. And actually, we know what's best for us and our lives. And tapping into that is so crucial. But even, and to wrap up now, us being in the new year now, and you just touched on there, actually, each day you can start afresh. And I truly believe that. Don't start afresh once a year, right? You can actually at any point decide, tomorrow's new day, today I'm going to forget about it, move on, and tomorrow do something differently. As we wrap up now, what allows you to keep doing that, to keep realizing, actually, yeah, you know what? I can just start afresh tomorrow.
What allows me?
I love that I've asked you loads of tough questions that you've needed to think about.
Yeah, no, you have. You have. So I remember Richard Branson saying a long time ago that everyone has good days, everyone has bad days. But if you find that your bad days are happening consecutively, and I think he said something like, if you have 30 days or a month and a half or something like that, where every day is a day that you don't enjoy in your work, then you need to change it. And I think that's a really important thing to remember, because, you know, it doesn't mean that every day should be a really happy day with your work. I mean, it would be great if it was. But, you know, the reality is that we've all got days where we need to do our taxes or deal with the lawyers or whatever it is like that. You know, that might not be your jam. It's definitely not my jam. But if you find, or if I find, that every day I'm not enjoying this, not enjoying that, not enjoying this, not enjoying that, then that's an opportunity to change something and to make an improvement. And I think it's great to make improvements, clearly, because that's going to lead to a better life. And that's an opportunity there to do it right away. I can't exactly remember what your question was or whether I'm answering that properly. But
nor can I, so we're all good.
thank goodness for that.
And I love this. And actually, I love that I've kind of developed this being imperfectly perfect, because I am now using it as an excuse for everything. I'm like, well, there we go. It's because we're imperfectly perfect. Anything goes. It's amazing, you see. That's all you need to do, right? Just allow yourself to
be imperfect.
Well,
tell me how you felt then before you started this podcast. Did you have a feeling that it needed to be perfect?
That's actually a great question. As you know, Simon, we've been talking about this podcast for a little bit of a while, maybe now a year, maybe.
It probably is, actually, yeah. Thinking about
I probably
it.
Shouldn't admit that, should I? And even in last April, so April of 2023, I announced to the world I was doing this podcast and then swiftly procrastinated for quite a long period of time because I was trying to make it perfect. And I can remember that one day I just had this moment of you popped into my head and I was like, I need to just do something about it now. And for me, I know if I wait, it doesn't get done. So I just hopped on the message to you, and you booked a call with me and you said, Anna, just actually do it. And I was like, okay. And I think for a while I was in that zone of it being perfect. I am, as we both know, a reforming perfectionist. Is it ever going to go away? Probably not, right? I don't expect to wake up one morning and not be a perfectionist. And I think people do sometimes almost think that's going to happen, and it's not. You're always going to have it there somewhere, but it's about actually the work that you do in personal development, I truly believe anyway, is to make it easier to deal with, and so it doesn't impact your life in a negative way. You use it as your superpower and your super strength rather than using it to, you know, hold you back. So yeah, so that's an interesting one.
I mean it's the idea of being a perfectionist in anything, even though people say that it's a negative, that it's almost like people wear it as a badge of honor wrongly. Wearing it as a badge of honor is like, oh, I'm such a perfectionist. And it's like they're saying, oh, I know I shouldn't be, but I quite like the fact that I am. And in fact, I quite like telling other people that I am, because it means that I'm good with attention to detail and stuff like that. But someone said to me ages ago that perfectionism is completely just procrastination in disguise. And you wouldn't be proud about the fact that you procrastinate on things. You might joke about it in the pub if you're with some friends, saying that you procrastinate, and then you have a laugh with each other. But you'd never put that you're a procrastinator on your CV, or you'd never mention that in a job interview. Whereas you can imagine someone being asked in a job interview, you know, tell me one of your weaknesses, and they might say, well, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, because they're using it as a bit of a selling point. But people would never say, oh, I'm a bit of a procrastinator, because that would ring alarm bells with a future boss or a future employer. So yeah, I think to remember that perfectionism really is procrastination in disguise is a really helpful thing.
I love that. Thank you, Simon. As I now, you know, think, oh, goodness. But even I love how you've said that, because as well, I say to people all the time, you know, traits that you have, you can use them negative or positively. Like, for example, I tell myself that I am an action taker, right? I take action really easily. When I want to beat myself up for it, I tell myself I'm impulsive. It's the same trait. It's just, you know, there's a positive spin and a negative spin. So I love what you've just said there. And that's a great end to our podcast today. So thank you, Simon, so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's been great being here. Thank you for inviting me on to be a guest. It's been really exciting. Been quite good fun being the other way around. So yeah, really good. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to be the first to know about new episodes. And in the meantime, check out our community at beingimperfectlyperfect.co.uk. We'll see you next time.